I heard an old, old story, how our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him. Is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen.
Remain standing as we look to the Lord in prayer. And what a wonderful privilege it is to go to the Lord and to worship him in spirit and in truth. And Brother Rommel, would you lead us, please, as we pray this morning? Amen. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And at this time, let's have a Bible reading by who? Bob Smith? Yeah. Bob, learn how to read.
Okay, thank you. Okay. The reading this morning will be from Psalms. Chapter 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in his heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked with him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright.
Turn over to 628. 628. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen. Would you all rise, please, and turn over to 481, and we'll have our offering after this song. 481. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then trembled at the law I'd spurn, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen.
Brother Roger, would you lead our prayer for us?
Father, again, we come to you with grateful hearts. Thank you for all the material things you provide for each and every family represented here today. Father, there's still many in our church that are sick. We just ask that you put your healing hands upon them, strengthen them by their faith, and where at their walks, let them know that things will be fine. Father, we, as we partake in this offering, we also thank you that you watch over this church corner, the property, the finances, and lots of it. And Father, as we take this offering, we ask that you would not only multiply it here on this corner, but the mission field that we support around the world, we will be careful to give you all praise, honor, and glory. For it is Christ's name we ask and pray his name.
Amen. Amen. Brother Johnny, are you going to sing for us this morning? Would you please? Do what? All right. Be putting those, Betsy will make a note of that, put on our bulletins so everybody will have their names, and take one of those bulletins home with you. We list those names in the bulletin each week so that you can pray for them during the week, and remember also to pray for our missionaries. This is about the only church that I know of in the area, at least, that has more missionaries that we contribute to the support of their ministry, and we have members. And I think that's wonderful. So when you look around and see all the folks that are here, just multiply that by two and put them out on the mission fields, and there is the Bible Baptist Church and its ministry. Anyway, we appreciate those prayer requests and others that are on the list there. Remember them in your prayers. At this time, Brother Johnny is going to come sing for us. Oh.
Pastor, can you give us all, some may not know what has happened to you this past week. What's the doctor say? Can you give us a brief update? How are you doing?
I don't know. All the thing is, I'm here. I'm here. And I'd rather be here than there. Last Saturday night of last week, I had a bad night. I had a bed partner by the name of Pain, P-A-I-N. By the way, I'm getting old enough to get to gout. Have any of you ever had gout? Huh? Bud, you're old enough to, have you ever had gout? Has he, Eileen? Oh, I hope you don't get it. It's not fun. I flipped my feet over the side of the bed, and my left foot hit the floor and bounced back up about that high. Woo, that hurt. And you're not going to sing about that? No, okay. So I can talk about it. But gout, that's terrible, in addition to everything else. So anyway, I spent last Sunday over in the emergency room at Kaiser Hospital. And I tell the truth, I lie not. I had much rather be here where I am right now than laying over there in that hospital bed. Really, for some reason or other, you know, I just don't have that desire just to lay around on the bed all day.
Well, we want you here too, sister.
Anyway, I'm doing pretty good for an old man. Long as I eat regular and I can take my pills. Hey, 21 of them. Some of you may have me beat, but I'm slowly catching up with you. 21 a day. When you hear me walk, that's not me, it's the pills rattling in there. Anyway, I'm glad to be here. And I missed you guys last week. I really did. So Brother Johnny's going to have to come. I missed his song last week. I don't know what he's saying, but he's going to make up for it today. Come on.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I want to tell Pastor something. See, I've been watching you. Every time you sit on a Sunday, the next Sunday you're here. See, I got your plan now. I was looking for you this morning.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, one of these days, with all the troubles and trials and foolishness is going on in this world. One of these days, God the Father is going to get tired of it.
Amen. Amen.
And he's going to look over on his right hand and at his precious son. And he's going to tell him this. Go on and get your bride ready, for the hour is near. Go on and get the bride ready, for soon I will appear. I've been waiting in glory, longing for the day when I tell Gabriel to blow, I'm gonna take my bride away. Now God says, son, go tell them that I love them. them they don't have to die in sin. Tell them that I've chosen them to be my very own, and that I want a fellowship with man again. Gonna get your bride ready for the hour is near. Gonna get the bride ready, for soon I will appear. I've been waiting in glory, longing for the day when I tell Gabriel to blow, I'm gonna take my bride away. Now I know you've been waiting for my returning. I know you are longing to see my face. My heart cries for those who need to know, for those who want to hear. And one day, very soon, I will appear. Gonna get your bride ready, for the hour is near. Gonna get your bride ready, for soon I will appear. I've been waiting in glory, longing for the day when I tell Gabriel to blow, I'm gonna take my bride away. Gonna get the bride ready for the hour is near. Gonna get the bride ready for soon I will appear. I've been waiting in glory, longing for the day when I tell Gabriel to blow, I'm gonna take my bride away. When I tell Gabriel to blow, I'm gonna take my bride away. I'm gonna take my bride away. Come on, my Lord Jesus, come and get your picture.
All right. Brother Roger was asking me a few minutes ago if I was going to preach what I was going today, what I was going to preach last Sunday. And I said, yep, I sure am. Don't put that much time in on preparing a good message and then not preach it. And I want to preach it, and I want to talk to you today about what we are. It makes me feel, when I get up here in front of you, I feel like a professor before a class, in a way, because there's a scripture, and it's not even my text today. The text for my message is in Exodus 39. We may not even get over there this morning, but hopefully we will. But I want to talk about the priesthood. This is something that probably most of us don't think about too much. We don't practice it enough, I know that for sure. But I feel like a professor before a seminary class trying to teach you what you are. What you are. There's a scripture that says that God has made us in Christ kings and priests. Think about those, kings and priests. We know what a king does. He's the ruler of a nation. Priest, he's the religious leader of the nation. Let me give you this introduction, if I may, about priest. Because you and I are priests unto God. I'm not going to talk to you about being a king. You already know enough about that. I feel that there's anyone in this congregation here, you take them, put them on a throne, and they're not going to have any problem. Because when you're king, you've got authority. And what you say is the law. I say, you do. That's being a king. That's not hard, is it? No. But what about being a priest? What do you know about priesthood and being a priest? You read about them in the Old Testament. But all they were are just, over there, just characters. They're an occupation. A person is a priest. That's what he does. Where did it all start? Way back yonder, after God's people, Israel, had been in Egypt for 215 years, and that's almost as old as the United States, 215 years they'd been down there. There were 70 of them who went down to start with. That's not very many. But in that length of time, they had multiplied and had become a great nation, a great nationality of people. And God looked down upon all of his people here in Egypt, and he saw that the time was now ripe to take his people out of Egypt and establish them in a land of their own that they would call Israel. A land that he had promised to give them when he spoke to Abraham. And he told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, unto thy seed will I give this land. So they're off down here in the land of Egypt, growing, multiplying, becoming a great number of people. And then one day God said, all right, guys, it's time to leave. So he raised up a deliverer. We all know that the deliverer that God raised up was a guy named Moses. Now, Moses was a Jew. He'd been in Egypt as a Jew. But he'd been raised in royalty as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then he got in trouble with the law, killed a man, and had to flee the country. He went over into a wilderness area and attached himself to the priest of that land, the priest of Midian. His name is Jethro. Jethro had 7 daughters. Moses fell in love with one of his daughters, married her. In time, they had 2 boys, Gershon and Eliezer. And during that time, this Egyptian-raised Jew was herding his father-in-law's flock of sheep out on the backside of the desert. Day after day, year after year, for 40 long years. Now he's 80 years old. Still herding sheep. One day he looks off in the distance over there and he sees something he'd never seen before. There was a bush that was on fire. I mean, the blazes were just shooting out of that thing. It was burning. But it wasn't being consumed. And he made his way over there to that bush to look at that sight. And before he got over there too close to it, there was a voice that spoke to him out of that bush said, pull your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Now, I don't know about you, but that would have scared me. Hear a voice out of a burning bush, and the bush was not being consumed by the fire. And then God proceeded to have a conversation with Moses. And God told him, he said, I want you to go down to the land of Egypt. I want you to walk into the presence of Pharaoh, old Amenhotep II was the Pharaoh at that time. And he said, I want you to say to that Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may serve me. Moses was obedient to the voice of God. He went back to Egypt, and he told Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no way. And then God started showing himself strong on behalf of his people, and he sent a plague, one right after the other, upon the people of the land of Egypt, until finally, old Pharaoh in desperation threw up his hands and said, I surrender, I quit, go, take your people. And he did. He took them over to the side of the Red Sea. And then Pharaoh changed his mind. He marshaled his army, chariots, horses, soldiers. They came after those Israelites. And they found them there between a mountain on this side and a mountain on this side and the Red Sea on this side. They had them bottled up. God opened up the waters of the Red Sea and they marched across that thing on dry ground. The Egyptians said, if you can do that, we can too. So they followed them into it. And they got out about the middle of it, and guess what? God took the hubcaps off the wheels. And they had a big traffic jam right there in the middle of the Red Sea. And then God said, Red Sea, do your thing. And he removed that invisible barrier that held those waters back, and boom, it just came crashing in on them and they all drowned. Now then, they're on the wilderness side of the Red Sea, headed toward their promised land. They travel over here to a mountain called Mount Sinai. It's still over there. I'd like to go to that place sometime. Doubt if I'll ever get to see it, but I've seen pictures of it. Mount Sinai. And God called him up into this mountain for a 40-day conference. Just Moses and God. And during that conference on Mount Sinai, God and Moses discussed a lot of things. Laws were given for the nation of Israel, including the Ten Commandments, the public display of which is banned by our federal law today. You can't display it publicly. And also, there was a pattern of worship that was established for the Israelites to follow. God gave them plans for a tabernacle that they were to build, a place they could gather to worship God, a place where God would dwell with his people in the Holy of Holies. The visible presence of God was evident day and night. At night you could look up and here was a big cloud up there. Have you seen some of our beautiful sunsets when the sun has gone down and begins to shine up here on the clouds on the horizon and they look like they're on fire? That's the way it was. There was a cloud of fire at night that was up there in the sky over the camp of Israel. And during the day, the cloud was dark and would give them shade from that desert heat. God was with his people. Now, one of the most important things that Moses and God discussed on top of Mount Sinai that day, or those 40 days, I should say, was the way that God's people would approach God. God wanted to have fellowship with his people, just like he wants to have fellowship with us. But there's a thing called sin that sometimes gets in the way, doesn't it? And sin separates us from God. So we've got to have some way to atone for that sin so that we can have a heart-to-heart relationship with God. So Moses and the Lord worked on that during that 40 days. Now, Jesus, as we said before, Revelation 1:6, has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. So that's what we are. We didn't even apply for the job. We were appointed to it. He has made us kings and priests. You didn't have to fill out an application blank or anything else. All of a sudden, you realize that you had been commissioned as a king and as a priest of God. Now, most people, most Christians don't know that. That's the reason why we don't act like it. If we knew we were kings, if we knew that we were priests, then we would probably spend a little more time acting like one. But that's what we are. Now, I didn't go to school to learn it. You didn't either. God said, you're a priest. You're a king. And it's up to us to act like it. By the way, like I said earlier, we know enough about politics to qualify us as a good king, a good ruler, but most of us don't have the faintest idea about what it's like to be a priest. Now, there may be some of us, I know Roger here, came out of the Roman Catholic Church. And while he was a Catholic, he knew that the father of the church was a priest. And by watching what the priest did and how he administered the affairs of the church over which he'd been assigned, he learned some of the duties of the priesthood. But me, I was just a plain old country Baptist boy, and I didn't know what a priest was. I could barely spell the word. And I still don't know too much about it. I haven't practiced it enough to become expert at it. I'll put it that way. Now, on Mount Sinai, it was determined that God would communicate with his people through anointed, sanctified men called prophets. God's up in heaven. He's got a message for some people down here, a congregation like this one here this morning. So God wants his word delivered to his people. He gives his word to a man who has been separated and sanctified and set apart for that purpose. And he said, you're going to be my spokesman. You're my prophet. And God would give the message to that prophet by giving a postman a letter to deliver. And that prophet would come, gather the congregation together, and say, thus saith the Lord. And he would deliver God's message to God's people. The prophet would. Now that doesn't mean that the people are going to obey and do everything that God says. They certainly didn't. He wanted them to, and they should have, but they didn't always do what God wanted them to do. But God communicated with his people through prophets. When he had something to say to the people, when he had a message to deliver, when he had instructions to give, he gave his words to the prophets. And the prophets would gather the congregation together and say to them, thus saith the Lord. Okay? That's the prophet. Now, the people, in response to the Lord, how are they going to get to God's ear? How are they going to get his attention? The people are going to communicate with God through prayer, through offerings and sacrifices, who are officiated by anointed, sanctified men called priests. They're priests. God had the 12 tribes of Israel. He took one of those tribes, the tribe of Levi, and he said, I'm going to take you guys, and you're going to be my priestly tribe. You're going to communicate with me for the people. It was God to man by the prophets. It was man to God by the priests. Now remember that we are priests of God. And that's the way that it went. Until, in the fullness of time, Jesus came. A little baby let out his first cry from the manger in Bethlehem. God sent his son. Hebrews 1 tells us, listen to this. God, who at sundry times, that's different times, and in divers manners, different manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He's spoken to the fathers, the Old Testament people, through the prophets. But he changed that. And now he has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So we have a great high priest, and his name is Jesus. We also have a book that's called the Bible, which is God's word in writing. And we also have, and that Bible is translated, it's the printed word of God in our language to assist us in our worship. And we also have the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus told his disciples, if I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit. And that's over in John chapter 16. And the Holy Spirit, what does he do? He takes the things of God and shows them unto us, and he guides us into all truth. So in our system of communication with God, it's not like the Old Testament way. Jesus has changed things drastically and dramatically. We have access to God through Jesus Christ. We have access to him 24/7. His line is never busy, and he is available to us day and night, anytime. He doesn't mind it at all. We can go to him, because where he is, it's always day anyway. But we have access to God to communicate with him. The Lord is just a prayer away. Now, the priesthood has been changed so significantly that you can hardly recognize it when you read about it in the Old Testament and try to compare it. Because at the present time, God speaks to us by his Son. And we speak to him through Jesus, our high priest, who has passed into the heavens. The Bible tells us that he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, not of Levi, but of Melchizedek. That goes back to Genesis 14, when Melchizedek was also king of Jerusalem in 1884 BC. The Bible tells us that Jesus can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's our high priest. The Bible tells us that he offers both gifts and sacrifices for sins. The Bible tells us that he has compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. Oh, please, while this is fresh on your souls, read the 4th and 5th chapters of the book of Hebrews. You'll appreciate them more. You'll find there that Jesus acts for us in heaven. We don't have to be there to do it. Jesus is there to do it for us. He is also the author of our eternal salvation. Isn't that wonderful? Think of these. He is our righteousness in heaven. He is our advocate in heaven. He is our intercessor in heaven. He is in heaven as our life. And we have entered into his rest. We can come boldly into the presence of the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that wonderful? I was going to get into the Old Testament. I'm not going to keep you that long. But the Old Testament and the priesthood itself, along with the various sacrifices and offerings that they offered to God, they're almost unknown, misunderstood, and misinterpreted by modern people like ourselves today. But I will say this, that the priests were the only ones, and this comes down to our priesthood, the priests were the only ones who were authorized to offer sacrifices unto God. They were the only ones. Now, Aaron was the first high priest. He was Moses' older brother, and he was of the family of Kohath of the tribe of Levi. And he was given the authority to offer the gifts and the sacrifice. Do you remember one time reading about King Saul? King Saul was a character, wasn't he? Man, I'll tell you, he was king. He wore his throne like I used to wear a sailor hat. Okay, I got some chuckles out of that. You know, when you were... It's the way you wore your hat. You could wear that thing right straight across here, and boy, you were law and order. You put it on the back of your head, let about that much of your hair show up here. You know, you're wearing it back there, and you're ready to party. You take that little thing, and you square it. Did you ever square one of those things? I never wore a round hat. Man, I'd take mine, rub salt in that thing, and get it to where you could fold it. It was square, and you take it, and you put it on your head, and cock it over on one side like that, and you're the cock of the wall. It's all in how you wear your hat. By the way, the priest had a hat too. David wore his that way. I can tell by the way he's grinning back there. He knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, there were some of those kings, and old Saul, he reminds me of a sailor, because he would take that crown, and he's the boss when he's got that crown on. I mean, there's nobody that has any more authority than he does. He is it. And he would take that crown, and he would cock that thing over on the side of his head, and off he would go, and he's the boss. He called old Samuel up one day. He said, "Sam, meet me down such and such place." Sam said, "Okay." Saul went down there. Samuel wasn't there yet. The king is waiting. He's twiddling his thumbs. "Where is that Samuel? I told him to be here. I'm the king." He waited. Samuel didn't show up the next day. Oh, I'll tell you. His necks are getting a little bit red back here, you know. And another day passes. He said, "I need that Samuel here. I need him to get in touch with God." 7 days went by, and God had Samuel off doing something else. And when, just before Samuel got there, old Saul said, "I've waited long enough. I'm the king. I can do whatever I please. And he said to some of his helpers over there, bring me that lamb. I'm going to offer that thing as a sacrifice to God. He went over there at the altar and he got that, the priest's knife and everything, and he's going to be the priest. And so, boy, he cut that little lamb's throat and shed the blood, offered it as a sacrifice like that. And about that time, what happened? Here comes Samuel over the edge of the hill. Samuel was a little disappointed in Saul. He told him so. He said, Saul, you may be wearing the crown, you may be the king, but you've got no business whatsoever offering a sacrifice to God. That's the business of the priest and the priest only. And I'll tell you, Saul, he lost his job. He remained on as king, but all he was just a figurehead from that time on out. Because he had stepped on the holy ground without pulling his shoes off, so to speak, like Moses in the burning bush. Only the priests. There are things that you and I can do that other people cannot do. And one of those things is that we can wear the holy garments. By the way, that was the next step in my message that I'm not going to preach now. The garments of the priesthood. Oh, that is something else. We'll have to get that at a later date. Because, you know, I look out and I look at you and I can't tell by looking that you're a priest. You don't have on black garb and collar turned around backward, white collar, you know, up here, things like that. A long chain with a cross on it hanging down here around your belly button. You don't look like priests, see? But we are. Every one of us that are saved are priests of God. And I'd like to have a month of Sundays to talk about the priest and our job and our responsibility as priest unto the Lord. But in today's message, the bottom line is this: you and I are priests of God. You read in your own Bible, you can find it in there, what God would have you to do as a priest. And I believe that when God's people begin to act like priests, we'll see a revival in this country. We're a bunch of priests that are sitting around doing nothing in ignorance because we don't know what to do. So we surrender ourselves to God and say, God, I've got the Bible. I've got 24-hour-a-day communication with you. I've got the Holy Spirit's leadership. Help me to be a priest, to serve you. Let's stand together, please, as we look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you have chosen us to be priests. You've called us to do something that we don't even know what to do. So all that we can do is just present ourselves to you and say, Lord, here I am yours, use me, show me what to do, guide me by your Holy Spirit, and let me do that which is good and well-pleasing in your sight. We thank you for using us. Thank you for saving us in the first place and using us for your name's honor and glory. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be worthy servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Number 404.
Sing a verse of invitation, then we'll go. Somebody here today may need to come. All to Jesus, I surrender. Will you come today? Walk down this aisle and mean it, and come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm coming. I surrender all. Will you come today? Lay your all upon the altar for Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Will you come today? Man, woman, boy, or girl, the invitation is to you. Will you respond today? Will you come as we sing, please, another verse? Will you do it today? That's Jesus knocking on your heart's door. Will you surrender all to Jesus? Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you being here today. I'm so glad I could be here with you today, too. Such a joy for God's people to get together. Tonight, we'll be back here. We're going to talk about the Lord. And I think you'll enjoy the message. We're going to take a look at God's humanity. We don't think about this very often, but did you know that God made human beings in His own image, after His own likeness? Did you know that? But we're going to look not at ourselves, but we're going to look at the Lord tonight through the Word, and we're going to see the humanity of God. The humanity of God. You haven't heard me preach that before, I don't think, because I don't even remember it if I did. But be here. Remember Wednesday night, too, our Bible lesson at 6 o'clock. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Roger DeLisle, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?